That's very appreciative. Thank you for your willingness. Our second speaker today will be Charlie. So come on up. I don't know you.
Oh, you do. You really do.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll say something nice about
you. Oh, you know, I'm just
kidding. I know you. Move over, and we all deserve it.
I'm sorry. I tend to be abrasive. Imagine that. I'm Cheryl Bulimic. This is totally off the cuff. I wasn't expecting this, but I never miss an opportunity to tell anyone in program and in fellowship how much they mean to me and how important they are. Someone told me none of us are special, we're important. And that's a big delineation, I guess the word is, for me, because when I think I'm special, I get in big trouble, but I am important. And Charlie has been an important part of my recovery, whether he knows it or not. There are certain people, I think all of us have that special person or several people in the meeting that we go to that keeps bringing us back, or, ooh, I hope that person's there, or and Charlie is one of those people for me, so I'm very excited to hear from him. We had an encounter, I think it was a couple years ago. We both ride our bikes to our meeting in the summer, and I literally was driving along my path, and I saw this man just come right off and come in sync with me, and lo and behold, it was Charlie coming to the meeting. And I don't believe in coincidences, and what I love about this group is, you know, we look like a really motley crew. There's so many different shapes, sizes, colors. We all come from different backgrounds, but we have that unity, that tie. And Charlie and I ride our bikes. That's our tie, but we have something much greater. So I don't want to take any more of his time, but thank you, Charlie, for sharing. I'm very grateful.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Nice cup. I am Charlie, a compulsive overeater.
That's right, Charlie.
And I had, 20 minutes to tell you about 71 years of travel. I also know not only your bicycle, but I know you drive a Pathfinder, and you drive an Element, and you drive a Verano, and, you know, it's just something about, when those cars are in the parking lot, it touches, you know, so it's, we do something very special for each other, to your point. I spent about 40 years being reasonably insane around food, but didn't know it. One day I was supposed to play tennis early in the morning. Had a bunch of friends. I spent 37 years in Minnesota, where recovery is kind of a second possibility because of the Hazelden Foundation and the work that goes on there. And I had a bunch of friends in 12-step, mostly alcoholic recovery. And I just really saw something happen with each one of them, the changes that came through. So one Saturday morning I was supposed to, and I knew there was an OA meeting, and I knew I had this problem, and I was supposed to play tennis, and it rained, so I thought, oh, what the hell. And I went to a meeting at 7:30 on a Saturday morning, and I never left that meeting. And there were about six people there. That meeting grew to 60 or 70 people. It's split two or three times, and when I go back to Minnesota, that's the first thing I think of is, you know, can I get there? The interesting thing is, when I moved here, they would say to me, so what's it like out there? And I said, well, they don't do it right, but they got recovery, you know. And now when I go back there, I tell them that they don't do it right, but, you know, you guys have, you know. So, and it's interesting, wherever you go, I travel quite a bit in my work, and so I've gone in the last 10 years. It only took me, I've been in OA going on, it'll be 27 years in August. So, it took me 20 plus years to figure out that I could actually go to meetings when I'm traveling. But now, I mean, I've gone to meetings on beaches in Florida, on the mountaintop, up in Dillon. I've been in Seattle in a hospital with other people who needed to be there. And California, learned how to write in a meeting, which was kind of cool. And it's really interesting to see, you know, it's nobody does it right, but damn it, it works kind of thing, you know. Again, to your point, you know, if you just kind of dig in and go to the steps and trust the tools, you know, there's a lot of sanity for you. I think my awareness is that I used food from the time I was, I can actually go back. We lived in an old house, turn of the century house, and there was a pantry, and you could close the door and go in the pantry, and I spent a lot of time in there. My mom was, if she had known about this, probably would have. She was a joiner, so she would have probably done the 12-step recovery thing. She clearly was a yo-yo dieter type person, so I learned that. My dad was a rageaholic. I mean, he did not know how to handle his emotional life, and so it was real easy for him to, go off the handle. And we spent most of our time trying to figure out when he was going to do it, duck and run. In fact, that's how I got to Colorado. I first visited here in 1948 when I was 8 years old. My parents, I was the oldest of four boys at the time. We allowed a sister later. But my dad, little shit that he was a little tall guy, but he could take out all four of us in the back seat with the back of his hand. And that's a sadness. But that's the way he learned how to deal with his rage or his feelings, his emotion, and that's what I was trained in. So in 1984, I found OA. I walked in that meeting, and I was home. So I also have an emotional life. Which I didn't have before you guys showed up. Your damn fault, I can remember my first phone call. I think I was in OA for maybe 6-7 weeks, and one night I was in a delightful conversation with my spouse, and once again she didn't understand how wise I was. And the next thing I knew, I was in the refrigerator, with a half a gallon of ice cream. Resolving that situation. And 2 + 2 = this is what you're doing. This is how you do it. This is how you handle it. And so I picked up the phone and I made my first phone call. And boy, was that scary. I'm self-employed, have been for 35 years. I like control. To even admit that you're out of control or that there is a challenge is, that was really big, big, hard stuff. That man became my sponsor for 17 years. Mm-hmm. So I got in. I got the idea of what it would take to, stop using food, and went to a 301 kind of program, and lost 40 pounds over a reasonable period of time, and then began the journey. So you lost your weight. Now what? And there was, it became obvious that, it wasn't just enough to lose weight, The good deal was I had saved an awful lot of money because I had tried everything else already by then. So what I realized, it was a journey of learning. And my first awareness, I think, was that I was an emotional eater. And that became a real nice, simple awareness. I travel, I sell ideas, which is like selling air. If I had a good trip, I'd come back and I knew exactly where the candy machine was in the airport, and I'd reward myself with one of those things. If I had a bad trip, I would punish myself with one of those things. So it was, no winners, but I got to eat it all. I don't think I was in the program more than a year, year and a half, and I was in a meeting one time, and one of the guys was talking about how he buys and sells cars and how it's probably an addictive, compulsive behavior. And it's like, I started looking around. How did he know? By that time, I owned 40 cars, bought and sold them. I sold my wife's car one day without telling her it was going to disappear. I came in the house, and she's crying, and it's like, well, what, but I got a good deal. We had it. I also learned in meetings that exercising to eat might be called exercise bulimia. And that might be part of my program, my solution. And that wasn't sane. That there was an insanity to that. I also learned, and I think this is one of my best long-term learnings, is that it is absolutely insane to have an addict in charge of his substance, or at least this addict in charge of my substance. And I still wrestle with that. And that's where I think the food plan comes in, and the ability to be honest about it and to report it and to just to be with that, that simple truth. I mean, all the other addicts, they get a break. You know, you take away their alcohol, you take away their drugs, you take away whatever it is. But, you know, we get to play with ours a couple, three times a day. And, you know, it's a real challenge. I learned that I'm imperfect, which was really hard to deal with. But that I'm a repeat offender, and that's where I got to the understanding of my imperfections, you know, and the humility of that, you know, to learn how to just be honest about, you know, I screwed up, you know, I've been slipping and sliding, it's time to, you know, clean it up. And the good news is that you were still here when I, you know, realized that, and you were, you know, you didn't care. You were just good about it. My image for that is the cat in the litter box, you know, how they shit and then they keep trying to cover it up, you know. And I've spent an awful lot of time making you guys think I'm really good, you know, and image management and all kinds of stuff like that, and it's just kind of weird. Another lingering one, and this is one I'm really enjoying right now currently, is nothing tastes as good as abstinence. And I got to tell you, you know, when I give myself permission, I'm a creative person. I am in a creative field. So I can come up with reasons to eat something faster than you can put it in front of me. And I can also, I have a hand that moves faster than my brain. So, I mean, that combination is deadly. And then it happens in, and then it's that shame and that guilt and all that crap. And the other place is, I've been praying a lot lately just for willingness, back to your willingness thing. And actually, I got one of my buddies back in Minnesota talked about he had found this new exercise that was really working for him. And, you know, everybody's like, you know how we are. And he said, I'm getting down on my knees in the morning and praying for willingness. And I kind of remembered that about, you know, a couple months ago, and I thought, okay, I'll do that. I'm going to do that again. And so I started praying on my knees. Well, my knees are 71 years old, and within 3 or 4 days, I could hardly walk. So I figured, I don't have to pray anymore, you know. Caught a break, you know. But I learned how to pray without kneeling, and I've gotten into a real good rhythm around that, and it's the only thing I really ask for anymore is just willingness, and it comes, and there's just moments of grace or influence or higher power or saying whatever, however you want to call it. I know that's happening to me a lot more now, and you talk about the taste of that versus the taste of guilt. And there's just, you know, there's just nothing like it. So it's good stuff. Then there's the old control part that I want to take it back. You know, and after about 12 years in the program, 301 working, I started taking a little bit back, you know, and I just want to be a little bit more in charge of this substance. And so that's been a wrestling match for me. For a long time, and it was about, you know, somewhere along there my sponsor fired me, which was interesting. You know, best friend, 17-year sponsor, and then get dumped. And I still don't know whose fault it was. I'd like to figure out. I'd like to blame him, but I'm afraid that I might have had something to do with it. Anyway. So there is that, and I recently got an email from my disease. And I thought you might, I got it through the kindness of one of our fellow travelers, but it's Hello, I'm Your Disease. This was on Friday the 11th of February, so it is recent. I love to catch you, I'm just going to take a couple parts out of it. I love to catch you with the element of surprise. I love pretending I am your friend and lover. I have given you comfort, haven't I? Wasn't I there when you were lonely? And I'm skipping down a couple lines. I love to make you so numb you can neither hurt nor cry. And then a little bit further down. When things were going right in your life, you invited me. You said you didn't deserve these good things. this is that backside of the thing, you know, and I think you referred to that too, you know. I was the only one who would agree with you. So, alive and well, not only in in the parking lot during meetings, but also now on my computer. To me, one of the finest gifts is the friendships that I've enjoyed. There are people in this room that I've come to know and appreciate, and you know, and it just, there's just, like you said, there's just, you know, when you know somebody's in there, when I know that car's in the parking lot, you know, there's just something special about that. And I think, you know, the gift is that we can be open, honest, and vulnerable with each other, you know, and there's no, I don't have to show you something that I'm not, you know, so that's pretty cool. And so that's good stuff. The 11th step has become a very comfortable place for me. I more and more like quiet time. And it's hard for me because I have a real busy mind. And, you know, there's a lot of chatter up there and long-term desire to be right, you know, and to be, like I say, in control. So to turn off that and just get quiet is has been a challenge. But one of the gifts is the tool of writing. And I was introduced to that almost at the same time I found OA. And I, with very few exceptions, have written almost every day for the last 27 years. And if there is no rules. It can be anything from a prayer, a written prayer, to reflection on the for today, you know, of the, with the reading of the day, which I also have, I've spent almost every day in 27 years in that book. Sometimes, because I'm an inventor, you know, sometimes I'm inventing, or, you know, sometimes I'm just being silly as all crazy. And but it's to me, it's kind of an active kind of meditation. It's an active calmness to it. And then the other thing I'm learning how to do a little bit is just to shut up and just turn it off altogether. But that's hard. But and again, to your point about the higher power, I've given up trying to figure out who he or she is, or where they live, or what they do for a living. But I know they get the big bucks for what they do, and I'm willing to trust that. And So I'm in this quietness, and also in the abstinence, the gift of that taste of abstinence, is I get lots of little promptings, many more than I used to, and so that's very cool, the grace of the moment, you know, and that's pretty cool. I left my 40 day book here. 2 days ago, or yesterday, I thought the reading was kind of touched on where we are in this, or my story at least. The key, the real magic of the 12 steps is that they replace my shabby independence with dependence on a strength that never fails me, my self-destructiveness with sane and healthy living. Today, there is no split between what I want to do and what I actually do. I am abstinent, I am in touch with my feelings and with reality. I can reach out to others and be what I would want to be in a friend, a spouse, a sister, a mother, a brother, whatever, co-worker. The woman must have read this. Anyway, to keep one of my lingering frustrations is that we can't figure out how to get guys in here besides me. No, there are guys in some of the meetings I go to, but there were a lot more men in Minnesota. I don't know what that is. You come out of the cold. Maybe that's for today, I want to keep growing in self-awareness, awareness of others, and of God is that, and that God is my highest priority. For this, I am willing to abstain and follow the directions of the steps. So I guess my summary is that there's nothing, and I break that down to no thing, not food, not control, not a new car, not the Broncos. And now my latest, I found myself the other night, you know, with the new Nuggets. I'm now watching basketball again, you know, and it's like, come on, you know, and I just get sucked into, I just want them to take over my emotional life. And, It ain't going to happen. I can be disappointed. I can go through quick highs and lows, but it's not their job. So I'm grateful, and I'm grateful to have been invited to be here today. Thank you.
Thank you.